as we think about all the things that are going on around us, how many of us long for justice? I certainly do. I mean, you read the news and you watch the TV and there's just story after story about things happening that are just plain wrong. Every time I watch a movie with my family, my son and my nieces make fun of me because I talk back to the TV. Any of you do that? Thank you, I'm not alone. All right. I start commenting when there's injustice. In fact, I chastise the bad guys like they're going to listen to me and that they're going to change what the outcome is. Now, in my mind, don't get me wrong, I know they're not going to listen. I know it's a TV, but something in my gut, something in my heart just can't remain silent at the wrong that I see. So sometimes what's on, well, the things you know you should do and what's on your mind, the way things should be done, it's not necessarily the way we act in reality. You know what I mean. And that's the lesson I was trying to help the kids understand, that, you know, what's on the surface, it's not necessarily what comes out. And so today, that's the topic, forgiveness. We might say, and I would imagine that every single person in here, in person and online, would agree that love and forgiveness is an important teaching, right? And that's integral to what it means to be a Christian, right? But our gut reactions are the things that come from our heart, the things we say might not necessarily give evidence to that forgiveness and love. I'll confess it. I mean, I'm in church, you know. We're not Catholic, but still, I think confession is part of what Jesus tells us to do. Repentance, recognizing what we're doing wrong so that we can invite him to change us. So my friends, first we need to accept and understand that in our heart, in our gut, we don't always act and say what we should as a Christian. And so, my friends, how many of you think about the last disagreement you had? You don't need to tell me. You don't even need to tell the person next to you. God already knows it. You know, Jaden said, God, Jesus knows everything I say or think. My friends, yes, and it is scary, but he loves us anyway. And that's why the teachings that we hear, we have to take seriously. It is because he loves us that he wants us to enter the kingdom of heaven, and he keeps telling us about the rules of the kingdom, the way it works in the kingdom, so that when it's our time, and make no mistake, we will all have that time, when it's time, we can live according to the kingdom rules. So let's pray, my friends, and take seriously what Jesus says. Because did you hear the end of that reading? What did Jesus say? So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, from your gut, from your very being. That's a serious warning. So let us pray as we consider exactly what that means. Holy and gracious God, we come to you this morning knowing that you see everything. You know our hearts, you know the good, and you know the bad. Yet you see who we were made to be, who we were created to be. So, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts so that everything we say and everything we do might be a true reflection of you. We cannot do this on our own. We need your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, enter our hearts so that what comes out of us reflects you and not us. All this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Jesus talks more about this. Matthew 15, 8:20, verse 28 to 20. Jesus says, he talks about the things that are on our hearts. He says, but the things that come out of the mouth, what we say, it really comes from the heart. And those are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, all those things that are against the commands of Jesus. And we need to be very careful of what comes out of our heart and out of our mouth. You know, we say justice and fairness is important. I think we all believe that, especially when we're on the other end, when we are when we're on the end of the injustice. Last week, if you remember, the reading was about resolving conflicts. And Jesus talked about how to deal with that. And when someone does something wrong to you in the church, when someone sins against you, what do you do? Well, you go and tell them what's wrong. And I think all of us could imagine and understand scenarios where someone's done us wrong, right? We can, because that is what is important to us. Peter now. Peter gets straight to the point when he hears Jesus say this, and he talks and he speaks what's in his heart. Peter's been known to speak what is in his heart a lot of times, right? He just talks without thinking. But I like Peter because he's honest. And he says, "Lord, all right, I hear you. If my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Peter says. Now, in his mind, Peter's thinking, seven times is a lot of times. You see, Jewish rabbis, they required those who followed the law to forgive a person who was guilty of things three times. You know, three strikes and you're out? We know that saying. So Peter's thinking, all right, three times, I'm going to go higher. Because he knows Jesus' standards are different. And he's thinking, all right, seven is a lot of times. But, you know, Jesus' standards are way above what we can even think or imagine. The way of the kingdom, my friends, is a much more than we can even imagine here on earth. It's radical, and it's, in fact, it's upside down to this world. So that's why we have a hard time understanding all these things about forgiveness and love. But here's what Jesus tells Peter. He said, no, not seven times. Not seven times, I tell you, but 70 times seven.
Amen.
Wow. Can you imagine forgiving someone who does you wrong 70 times seven? It's hard, right? It's a lot. And to illustrate this point, Jesus shared this story, which seems to be in hyperbole, but in fact is a very real understanding of forgiveness. He shares the story of a king. Now, this king wanted to settle accounts with his slaves who owed him money. The reading tells us that the king began the reckoning, and the one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to them. I like the word reckoning. Have you know that word reckoning? It means things are going to be made right. There's going to be an adding up to what is owed. It's justice and a final accounting of what you're responsible for. So for those of us who long for justice, are there things that you think in this world that need a reckoning? That an accounting for? I certainly do, my friends. And so, for us, as we hear the words of Jesus, know that there is hope, there will be justice. Not your justice, not my justice. Let us be clear about that. But a justice according to God. So have that hope. Keep that in your mind. Jesus tells us over and over, there will be an answer, an accounting, a reckoning. You know, for those that cut you off on the road, you've had reactions, haven't you? For those at work that undermine you or sabotage you, you know what I'm talking about. For those that have sinned against you, and for those of us that see the news, that see the accounts of what's going on in this world, my friends, rest assured, there will be an accounting. But thank God it's not your accounting or mine. It will be God's accounting. So, my friends, as we consider this, I want to offer another viewpoint to you. Consider that we might be the one who might have sinned against someone, unintentionally or intentionally. Have you ever been the one driving fast? Oh, I have. Let me get a drink of water, but I certainly have. And I've been caught. Yeah, so that reminds me that I need to do better. I need to do better. It's not when we get caught that it becomes a sin. The sin is in doing it when we know it is wrong. The fact is, unintentionally or intentionally, each one of us are in need of grace, my friends. Today, I might be the one in need of grace. Tomorrow, you might be the one in need of grace. Each day is different, my friends, and let us remember that one day, all of us will have to answer. The good news from Jesus is that in spite of our sin, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of all we've done, and Jesus knows our hearts. You know, Zayden's got it right. We have done wrong, and yeah, it's a scary thing to know that Jesus sees everything. But God is God, and He knows, yet He loves us anyway. And guess what? More than that, not only does it love us anyway, He paid the price for that sin that separates us from God. The price for not putting God first. And that price, my friends, of doing things our way, sinning, it has led to separation from God. Because there's no way that we can stand in God's presence when we're going to be the God of our own lives. And Jesus paid that price on that cross. He chose separation from God in that moment so that you and I would not have to deal with being apart from God for eternity. Knowing our faults, knowing our predilection, knowing that we say one thing on the surface, but really our hearts mean another. Even knowing that about us, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. And that, my friends, is just mind-boggling if you just let it sink in. That gift of unmerited, undeserved grace. About 7 years ago, my family and I, we were traveling to India for a wedding, and there was a problem with the passport. And frankly, it was our fault. You know, we can't blame anyone, that was our fault. We should have paid attention to it. So guess what? Evan could not come on the plane with us. Thankfully, there were other family members who were coming later. And we thought we could fix the issue, and we talked to the person at the counter. And they said, yeah, okay, you can do this, and this can resolve it. So off we went. The moment our plane landed in India, we made those calls. We tried to get all these things done that needed to get done for that passport. But guess what? We were not making any headway. People were not receptive, and they were reciting the laws. Well, no, you should have done this. You should have done this. Can you imagine the desperation that I felt? Have you ever been in a situation when you know that you made the mistake, where you know that there's a consequence, but you're hoping for grace? That you're hoping for things to be made right, hoping against hope. Well, God bless you. So I had to throw myself on the mercy, on the people on the other lines, and I made so many calls. My friends, I can understand the desperation of this slave who was asking help from the king. The slave who owed the king an enormous amount, and I'm not going to do the math, but suffice it to say that the amount, if you translate the denar, the 10,000 talents he owed, that would be in the billions today, the B, with the billions, 3 point something. Someone was doing the calculation, but my head couldn't wrap around it. But know that it's an astronomical account. I can understand the desperation that they felt of wanting grace. But praise God. Praise God. Because guess what? God connected me to the person who listened to my situation and who offered grace and helped me. And my friends, truly, it is only by God's grace that within a week, can you imagine, within a week, us being in a different country, we were able to get a temporary passport for Evan, and it worked out. As I think about it, there's no earthly way that could have happened. It's impossible. It's a legal document. We're in another country. It's a minor. And so, my friends, that experience gave me a whole different understanding and a heart for those that are separated from their children, for those that are dealing with legal issues. My friends, I knew I was going to see my son in two, three weeks, but knowing he couldn't be there, even for that short time, that was painful. I can only imagine how people feel who are separated from their loved ones and there seems to be no way to reconcile, humanly speaking. Can you? Can you understand the desperation of someone who knows that there's no way this is going to happen, but who's hoping against hope? And guess what, my friends? The king forgave that slave, that $1 billion debt. Our Lord forgives you and I the debt we owe Him for doing things our way, for being the God of our lives. Take that seriously. You and I are not the God of our lives. We are not God, and the sin that it leads us into has consequences. death, separation from God. That's where we are, my friends. That's why this whole world, why is there injustice? It's because we are doing things the way that makes sense to us. Each one of us living as if we are the God of our lives. Know that, my friends, that cannot continue. And there will be an accounting, a reckoning for that way of living and being in this world. Jesus tells us over and over again. Understand that grace. So my friends, what we give to others, first we need to receive. So if you haven't felt, if you haven't experienced that grace of mercy and forgiveness of our Lord, know that our Lord is ready to give it to you. But you have to come into His presence. There has to be a repentance. There has to be a forgiveness of sins. There has to be a confessing of what we're doing wrong. When's the last time we confessed to what we've done wrong? Or do we always just hold on to what others did to us? And we operate in that mode where we're right and others are wrong. Well, this slave, he operated in that mode. And you know what he did? He was forgiven this huge debt. He goes out and then he demands a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. That's a couple thousand, 100 days worth of wages. Here, he'd been forgiven of 10,000 talents that would have taken him 160,000 years to earn. And he goes out to his fellow slave and asks him, demands that he pay him back 3 months' worth of wages. And when his fellow slave asked for mercy, he didn't give it. Because it wasn't in his heart. He hadn't truly received what the king had offered him. And out of his heart, out of his gut, comes unforgiveness, injustice. His fellow slaves saw this and they reported to the king because they were distressed at this wrong, as this injustice. And so the slave was summoned and the king meted out justice and gave to the slave what he deserved. The slave who had received mercy, grace, unmerited forgiveness, did not understand the significance in his gut. He did not receive it. And now he had to answer, to account for it. There was a reckoning. My friends, if you and I truly understood the magnitude of the mercy we have received from God, from Christ our King, who stood in our place for the punishment of our debts against God, then we would be so much quicker to forgive others. We would be so readily able to let go of our way of seeing things, our perspective, and seeing one another as a child of God, as a beloved child of Christ our King. You and I can say that we believe in forgiveness and love with our mouths, but if it doesn't come from the heart, if it doesn't come from the gut, my friends, it means nothing. We will be the same as that slave who did not forgive and who had to answer. And I don't say this to scare us. I say this as a reality check, my friends, that one day Christ will come again. One day we will have to answer, and that we will have to. We can't get around it. But the good news, my friends, and there is good news, is that today we have a chance to start over. Right here in our church, right here in our families, my friends, consider who needs forgiveness. Consider justice that our Lord wants us to live. And offer it unreservedly. So what's in your heart, my friends? What's in your gut? What is truly in your true selves that comes out? I pray that we would seek for God's love to come out in every word we say, every action we live, and everything we do in this church. Today, I will need it. Tomorrow, you will need it. May this church, may we be a people full of grace and mercy, ready to offer it to all who come into our path. Amen.